The Bible tells us that God holds the entire universe in the palm of his hands. He is the creator of all things. But how expansive is the Lord's dominion? To answer this question and many others, join Pastor Paul and the Word Mission Church family on yet another insightful message.
Notice the phrase, steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. He is not looking for the world to devour them. He already has them. This letter is written to spirit-filled Christians, saying that the enemy walks about. It is back to where we started. He's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Looking for somebody to devour. What are you going to do about it? What are we going to do? Stick our head in the sand like an ostrich and hope he goes away? No, he says, stand your ground, resist him. Steadfast in the faith. You have that shield of faith by which you can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. You have that shield of faith that you can stand and say, if God's word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. The shield of faith. Stand in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on it. 1 Timothy 6, 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the confession, the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight. Some people read fight and they thought it meant fight each other. No, that's not what he's saying. The only fight that you are in is the fight, the good fight of faith. And I like how he calls it. He calls it the good fight of faith. That is a fight that you know what the end result is. A good fight of faith. Resist him steadfast in the faith. You are the one to do it. It's our responsibility to do it. Fight the good fight of faith. And later on, he's writing to Timothy. He said, as he told him as well, I've fought the good fight. I've finished my race. And now is laid out for me a crown of righteousness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on the life of God that he was talking about in John chapter 10, verse 10. Fight the good fight of faith. Devil, I will not let you steal my family. I will not let you have my children. I will not let you have my finances. I will not let you, take any, there is nothing in me that belongs to you. Do you understand that? No. Come on, he understands that language. Tell him. Stand your ground, stand your ground. And then we also have the weapon of the anointing. The weapon of the anointing. That has the last one for today. But what are some of the things that will hinder us from walking in our authority? It's ignorance of what God has said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He talks about the fact that lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Ignorance. Verse 10 says, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For indeed, I have forgiven anything. I have forgiven that one of for your sakes in the presence of Christ. This great apostle, he knows what the devices of the enemy is, one of which is unforgiveness. Whatever this person has done, I am going to forgive them, because if I don't, he will take advantage of me. You see, I'm not ignorant. No matter what they did against you, leave it and let it drop. Lest Satan should gain advantage over us. Of course, unbelief in what God has done for us will also hinder us in that aspect. And of course, persisting over a period of time in sin will also hinder us. But let's go back to this weapon of the anointing. It's so important for us to realize that. The people that came on Friday, they got a head start. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. Thank you, Lord. Notice what the Bible says. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet smelling cinnamon, 200. Oh my Lord, I've missed the point. That one is also important. Okay, no, let's go back to that point. You see, I will come back to this one. No, this is important for us. I thank you, Lord, for bringing it up. So you see, in Exodus, let's go back. It's so important. I don't want us to miss it. Exodus chapter 4, verse 17. Exodus chapter 4, verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Exodus chapter 4, verse 17. Talking about Moses, he says, and you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. When he was sending Moses, take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. And in Isaiah chapter 11, thank you, Lord. Isaiah chapter 11, we know that Jesus is described as a rod. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. He says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his root. So for Moses, what he had was the rod. And God told him that with this rod, you will do signs. Not Moses did like all of us, we do. God has given us all these weapons. When he got to the Red Sea, Pharaoh is behind him. The Red Sea is before him. And notice what he does. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. God has given us Jesus, and we know that Jesus is the word of God. But when the circumstances of life comes, where we have to take our authority and our dominion, we are crying to God. Elijah didn't do that. If I am a man of God, let something happen here today. If I am a child of God and he has given me his word, he has given me his name, he has given me the blood of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, instead of crying to God, I am going to take my authority in the mighty name of Jesus and do something. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And as you act on his word, like he told Moses, the Egyptians that you see today, you will not see them anymore. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, the enemies that you see today that will endeavor to defeat you, as you exercise your authority and your dominion, I speak the word of God that may you not see them anymore again. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why are you crying to me? I can spend the whole month right there. Why are you crying to me when I've given you all the tools? Thank God he figured it out and acted, and the Red Sea opened. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Red Sea was divided. And notice, if you read it carefully, sometimes we miss the details. Oh, my, we miss the details. In the word of God, you have to realize that he's told him that you divide it. I've given you my rod with which you shall do signs, and you are standing there and crying. You divide the Red Sea. But verse 6, he said, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. I'll give the authority, it's there. I'll give you the right to act. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we'll take our place and act according to his word. Okay, let's go back. Thank God for bringing that one up. Exodus chapter 30, verse 2. Now the anointing oil. He told Moses to prepare it a special way. And then he says, Exodus 30, 26 says, but with it you shall anoint the tabernacle of the meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. He says, anoint them. You see, by the anointing, we are able to fulfill what God has for our lives. We are able to fulfill. He says, it shall be most holy throughout your generations. Throughout your generations. Throughout your generation. But what is in the oil? It's so powerful as a weapon to us. Notice what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. He says, then Samuel, this is talking about, took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Amen. The oil came on him, and what? The Spirit of the Lord came on him from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. There's a correlation between the oil coming on him and the Spirit of God coming on him to stand on, in the office as king. And notice when Jesus sent his disciples, notice Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 6, verse 7, he says, and he called out to himself, called the 12 to himself, and began to send them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirit. Then when you get to verse 12, he says, so they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. He gave them power. They went out and anointed with oil. Knowing someone like Thomas who has to see before he will believe, he will ask me, where is the power? You've given us the power. Where is it? They went out and cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. He gave them power. Oh, you can take that anointing oil. And there is a mystery about it. In James, he talked about the fact that if someone is sick, let them, the elders, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. They gave them power, they went out and anointed with oil and healed many that were sick. What else is there? Thank you, Lord Jesus. What else is there? And you know, he said that the oil came on him and the Spirit of God came on him. And the Bible says in Isaiah 59 verse 9, he talked about the fact that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. And in Isaiah 10:27, he says, the yoke shall be destroyed. Because of the anointing. Another translation says, because of the anointing oil. It is a weapon that is available for us that we can use. And the clearest one yet is in Psalm chapter 89, verse 20. Psalm chapter 89, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. Psalm chapter 89, verse 20. He says, talking about David again, I have found my servant David with my holy oil, I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also, my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. I found him. I've anointed him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The son of wickedness shall not afflict him. Because of the anointing, I will beat down his foes before his face. In the mighty name of Jesus, this morning, we will be anointed. And as we are anointed, every enemy that you are faced with, may it be defeated from this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The enemy will not outwit him. Every form of affliction on your life this morning, it has to come to an end. Because of the anointing. The anointing sets us apart. It says sanctify them. In another place, it talks about the fact that touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. You are sanctified. You are set apart. You are a touch not entity in the air. The enemy will not afflict you. You are a touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When the anointing, the oil comes on your life, when the anointing comes on your life, it distinguishes you. It sets you apart. It did the same for Saul when he was anointed. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, he says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander, or another translation says, captain over his inheritance. You see, there are certain things that God has reserved for us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 talks about the fact that he has given us all things. And then we're talking about he has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. But he says, I've anointed you as captain or commander over his inheritance. The inheritance, the things that God has for us in this season, I pray this morning as you are anointed in the mighty name of Jesus, you will enter the fullness of the inheritance that God has for you. And you will become commander over every circumstance that doesn't line up with the word of God, beginning from this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And verse 2 says, when you are departed from me, you see, Saul was tall, but he was looking down on himself. He says, I'm not qualified. I'm in the least tribe. I'm in the least family. But notice, he says, when you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worried about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? This morning, my prayer is, anything that has been lost in your life, your dignity, your honor, anything in your life, your health, anything in your life that has been lost, may God restore in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And he says, verse 3, then you shall go on forward. You shall go on forward. From this morning, I see you going on forward. I see supernatural advancement. I see supernatural progress in your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You shall go on forward. From then, come to the terrible tree of Tabor. There, three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. May you experience the favor of God from this morning. Oh, may men begin to give into your bosom that you will continue to be a blessing. May they greet you where they have turned you back before when they were supposed to have welcomed you. Oh, they will salute you, another translation says. May your honor be restored in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And he says, verse 6, then the Spirit of the Lord will come on you and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. May your personality and who God has called you to be, may you enter the fullness of it, of that this morning. You will be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs come to you. Do as occasion demands. For God is with you. Saul, who was insignificant, who was looking down on himself, when that oil came on his life, it all made him the commander of the God's inheritance, lifted him up. Now he got to the point where he was ruler and he had authority over the land. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, take this rod with which you will do signs. May God's favor come on you. May the enemy not afflict you again from today and henceforth. May he not exact upon you. Oh, may you not be touched by the enemy anymore. And may everything that you have lost be restored. And finally, I'm like the Apostle Paul. He said finally, and then there was one more chapter in one of his letters. But this is finally. As we are prayed for this morning, my heart prayer, the 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, he says, but may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, after another translation says, after you have suffered a moment, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Whatever you have suffered in the past is in the past. A moment is in the past. May God, the God of all grace, perfect you this morning, establish you this morning, strengthen you, and settle you. Settle you in every area of your life. Any area of your life where it's not settled, where you are weak, where you are not established. May God make you whole in the mighty name of Jesus.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Word Mission Church International. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning service. Word Mission Church International is located off of Edison Avenue at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80915. For more messages like this, be sure to visit our website at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. If you are in need of a Bible, stop by our church at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, on Saturday at 6 p.m. or Sunday at 10 a.m. and we'll be glad to bless you with a new Bible. If this message was a blessing and the Lord leads you to partner with us in spreading God's Word, simply text the word GIVE to 719-215-8338. For a tax-deductible gift to the ministry, give to 719-215-8338. Remember to visit the website, www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. Also, let us know how this message was a blessing and how we can help further. Stay blessed. Word Mission Church International. Bible-rich sermons, authentic fellowship.